terms of time, this one's a little shorter, so there'd be plenty of time for questions if they exist. You all recognize this. This is the other side. How can we assess the benefits? What good do we expect to do if we're successful? And then just by way of review for some of the folks who are coming in on this, just a description of Burkina Faso. Very poor, formerly ranked second poorest in the world by the UN Human Development Index. The cotton industry in Burkina Faso is essentially the one industry that works, and it's the economic engine that runs the country. Small family farms, if you add up the people that are involved directly in cotton production and the ones involved in collateral industries, you could say that about 40% of the population is dependent to some degree on the cotton industry. Why is this success so important here? Burkina Faso is a key portion of a large cotton growing region. The importance of the region is growing and has been for a number of decades. The BT technology is a very strong technical fit in terms of pest spectrum, in other words, the lepidopteran complex that feeds on the local cotton, and in light of the fact that current inputs are less effective than they used to be for a number of reasons, and I've just suggested a couple here. Resistance and poor timing, obviously they go together. The standard pesticide regimen for cotton in Burkina Faso is 6 calendar timed sprays. And in terms of environmental stewardship, it's an excellent fit. And as I just mentioned, in terms of the population, improving cotton production has the potential to benefit a large portion of the population. As far as the importance of cotton in West Africa, the colors that aren't quite gray represent the cotton-producing countries in West Africa. Burkina Faso is the one with the bars. Cotton production since 1960 has increased 10 times in West Africa, and since 1990, exports have doubled. About 1 million metric tons of lint produced, at least that's the value for 2004-2005. Most of it is produced in that western portion, and really the heart of cotton production in West Africa is right here. Zeroing in on the western part of Burkina Faso, Ivory Coast, and Mali. The pest complex in cotton in Burkina Faso is what I would consider robust. Just like most areas of the world, they are the key destroyers of yield. And even under their standard 6-spray regimen, you can get yield reductions up to 70%. The bollworm complex includes Helicoverpa armigera, old world bollworm, Erius species, spiny and spotted bollworms, and Diphoropsis, the red bollworms. The foliar feeders include Celepti, which is a cotton leaf roller, Spadoptera littoralis, a cotton leaf worm, and Anomis, which is a cotton semi-looper. And these are some of the usual suspects. Armigera. This is Erius, the semi-looper, and the cotton leaf roller. The technology that was tested in Burkina Faso was the second generation of Monsanto's BT cotton technology, and that's Bollguard 2, cotton expressing Cry1AC and Cry2AB. In the 2003, 2004, 2005 seasons, these were small plot studies on government stations with the BT genes in U.S. germplasm. It was a Coker 312. And those stations are noted in blue on the map. And those three circles represent the three cotton-growing regions. And that's roughly how the industry split up. The western part, where most of the acreage is controlled by Sofitex and Fazakatan and Socoma were the two smaller companies and responsible for different regions. 2006 and 2007, the back crossing had been completed, and we were able to test these genes in the local germplasm. In 2006, we only had enough seed for three sites, but in 2007, 20 sites were deployed, and these were larger, what we'd call system trials, where half-acre comparisons were made, or a half-hectare comparisons were made. A half-hectare of Bolgard 2 that received just two sprays for piercing sucking pests right next to a half-hectare of its germplasm conventional parent that received full six-spray complement for piercing sucking and lepidopterans. The actual work that was done, and this is a local field trial crew. Obviously, the efficacy studies, looking at insect counts and plant damage. Economic studies looking, trying to assess input savings, the effects on yield, and then based upon those two factors, what were the potential or estimates of value created? And then what we call stewardship studies, things like gene flow and isolation distance. Many of these were studies that have been performed in many parts of the world. To some degree, they were a little redundant, especially the gene flow work, but the fact is it created a great degree of comfort, a high comfort level to the local scientists who could then communicate to the regulators and legislators about the relative safety of this technology. And then IRM studies, which included baseline susceptibility and then plans for future monitoring. Now even alternate host assessments are being made. So a lot of these stewardship studies are ongoing. This is a summary of results of those early years of confined field trials where the small plots were used. They were done essentially on two government farms, and the BT genes were in the U.S. germplasm. You can see there was excellent bollworm and defoliator control, 90% reduction in damaged fruit. By removing four of the six sprays, we had approximately a 70% reduction in pesticide use. And the average yield gain of the minimally sprayed Bolgard 2 over the fully sprayed conventional was about 15% in these small plot trials, which translated, if you take the yield gain, subtract the inputs, the insecticide input reduction, an additional 30% value was created after that cotton was paid for. And these results are found in bits in some of these publications listed below. Now, when the back crossing was complete, and in 2006 and 2007, we were able to deploy the genes in the local germplasm. Overall, again, spray reduction was about 70%. In 2006, we had three sites, and that average yield gain over the fully sprayed conventional was 33%, and the additional value created per hectare was about 40%. 2007, we were able to get to 20 sites, and those values were increased. 45% yield gain average was realized with an additional nearly 60% value created. That's the additional yield minus the inputs that weren't used. This is one 2006 site, Boni, Western Burkina Faso, with the Bolgard 2 sprayed twice on the right-hand side and the conventional parent sprayed 6 times on the left. This is one case where almost 50% yield increase was realized. Now, the way things stand, or briefly, like the last year or so in Burkina Faso, the regulatory submission was complete by August 2007. That's when we had our full package and submitted to the National Biosafety Agency. On a separate front, final commercial negotiations with key economic stakeholders were completed in April. That included the cotton companies, the growers union, and a representative from the Burkina Faso Ministry of Commerce. On the 16th of June, we received regulatory approval for commercial release of Bolgard 2. And just a week or two later, commercial seed production began, planted close to 9,000 hectares for commercial seed production. So technically a commercial release, but it was essentially to produce seed for a broader commercial release in 2009. And this was kind of the tail end of our pre-commercial seed release in Arizona in 2007. This seed in June was shipped very rapidly to Burkina Faso to plant that 9,000 hectares. And I'd be more than happy to answer any questions at this time. We got finished a bit early, but yes. The refuge program that has been approved by the National Biosafety Agency is a stepwise refuge program. It is one that requires, and it's monitored regionally, because it's a highly organized industry right down to the village level. So when local, as long as local adoption does not exceed 80%, then there is no formal refuge needed, because obviously a 20%+ is the refuge. But once it exceeds 80%, a 5% untreated refuge is required on the local or village level. At the same time, Burkina Faso is rich in alternate hosts. So while this is occurring, the local scientists, or the local government scientists, are performing research similar to what was done here in the U.S. to assess the contribution of natural and other non-cotton crop hosts for their target pests. And the door is open for the future to submit a proposal for a natural refuge if the data support it. But right now it's a, no refuge until 80%, and then once 80% penetration, then a local 5% refuge is required. Yes? There's another question.
I'm curious, me and Monsanto are helping us afford economic disadvantage people better livelihood. When I see Cole Hart, the businessman side of me, says those small acre farmers are historically where it's virtually impossible for them to hire some of the seed. How does Monsanto think to do that?
Well, just like any part of the developing world, it'd be naive for us to believe that some of that wouldn't happen. But for the most part, these guys won't get paid for their technology unless they take the seed cotton back to the gin. Exactly. And that's where they get paid. Pardon me? I guess that's it. But yeah, it's mostly on the tail end. And just like their inputs before were all purchased on credit that would be paid at harvest, that's how this is done here. And historically in Burkina Faso, the growers depend upon the seed companies for the seed, even before traits, because their ability to produce quality seed is pretty limited.
I'm very glad to hear that, because that's the business model we've got to look in the U.S. because the current business model is not sustainable.
Well, I'm sure some of the folks who deal with that have heard it. I'm a scientist, but
You may be right, yeah. Thank you.